Hello everyone, welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is going to be a feathery friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful Toco Toucan. Full disclosure, I am not sure if I am getting sick or not, because my voice is kind of going in and out, but the show must go on. This podcast episode is dedicated to Ralph, who is part of the family of Vivi and Lovey, and also to Kimberly. I hope you enjoy your very own podcast episode, and I thank you for requesting such an awesome animal. For how to request your very own animal and to get access to all of the resources that were used in this episode, you can go to the show notes or the description, and I will also talk about it at the end of the episode. If you love the show and want more of it, including exclusive episodes, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. And now we are going to start to slow down just a little bit. Before we start our trek, I just have two things that I must ask of you. The first thing I ask is that you double knot your shoelaces. We are going to need it for this trek. And the second, maybe more important thing, is for you to try to the best of your ability to embody maybe Jell-O. We all carry tension day to day, maybe in our shoulders or in our head. But we really do not need all of that where we are going, and so I encourage you to do your best to relax your body, but allow your mind to join me and to wander off with me into the tropical forests of South America, so we can explore together the wonderful animal that is the Toco Toucan. Listen to that call. As we can hear the crunching of sticks beneath our feet, I can think of no better accompaniment than that of the Toco Toucan's call. Now, many of us have likely heard of a toucan. Maybe there are particular mascots that come to mind or some other famous representation. But the reason we are specifying the Toco Toucan is because there are more than 40 species of toucans. The one that we are covering today just happens to be the one that we most associate with that word toucan. There are other toucan birds that have names like the Arikari or the Toucanet, and the one thing that really brings them all together in this family or community is that they sport this large and comically large bill. When compared with the rest of their body, this bill is one that sticks out like a sore thumb. So for the majority of this episode, I will likely refer to this bird as the Toco, and when I do so, just know that I am referring, of course, to the Toco Toucan, and not to some other completely separate species. So the Toco is the largest of the toucans and the best known. It has their very large, oversized, maybe some would say, colorful bill that made it one of the world's most popular birds. If you are from the West, like I am, you likely associate the Toco with a particular cereal brand or with some other commercial mascot. So this bird is not only beloved by individual people, but also seemingly by large conglomerates. And such is their charm that they can sell cereal like nobody's business. Now let's go to the scientific name. The common name is of course the Toco Toucan, but the scientific name is Ramphastos Toco. Now sometimes these scientific names can give me some sort of Latin hint or Greek hint, and by those little markers we can tell the etymology of certain words. But in this case, I have no idea what Ramphastos means, and I could not find anything on the internet to this effect. So their scientific name is a cool one, but I have no idea what it means. The toco will weigh about 2 pounds, or 20 ounces, or for my UK listeners, just a little bit over half a kilo, and they will grow up to 25 inches long, but their bill will account for nearly half of that length. We are talking about bills that are often a minimum of 7.5 inches long. For a creature that weighs only about 2 pounds, how is it that they can have not only a somewhat large body, I guess relative to their weight, but also be sporting this huge bill? There are some guinea pigs who weigh more than the toco, and yet the toco is towering over them in terms of height or length. This is because of a characteristic that is peculiar to most birds, and that is hollow bones. Me and you have a skeletal system that is likewise comprised of bones connected to each other, but our skeletal system, just our frame, weighs a lot more when compared proportionally to that of most birds. That is because we have a varying bone density. Our bones are not at all hollow, and bone densities can vary from individual to individual. And so what hollow bones give the toco, and likewise many other bird species, the ability to do is to fly with a relative ease. If they had proportionally similar bone densities to us, they would not be able to leave the ground. This is what allows creatures like the flamingo, for example, which is a very tall bird, to be 6 to 8 pounds on the heavy side. The toco has beautiful feathers that compose a striking plumage with a mostly black body, a white throat, chest, and upper tail coverts, and a pleasant surprise of red underneath those tail coverts. They have what looks like a blue iris that is actually just a piece of thin blue skin around their eye. That blue skin is then surrounded by another ring of bare orange skin. Now, accompanying this beautiful display of colors is, of course, their signature bill that will be somewhere between a yellow and an orange in color, with a black base and a large spot on the tip. The tongue that is hidden inside that comically large bill is nearly as long as the bill is, and will be very flat. Now, researchers are still a bit confounded as to why they have such large, colorful bills. From a pragmatic standpoint, it doesn't seem all that necessary. They postulate that maybe, while the purpose isn't clear, it could have something to do with courtship or with self-defense. But with a little bit of observation or prodding, it is seen that their bill is more show than it is for defense. They don't work as a weapon any more than maybe a honeycomb of keratin would be a weapon. Keratin is the same substance that our fingernails are made out of, for example. It is also the same substance that makes up much of horns in other creatures. And so using an airy and lightweight honeycomb for self-defense is not going to fare very well. And so this creature's bill falls into a category which seems to confound some researchers. I, in cases like this, choose not to go the very rationalistic route in trying to find the exact explanation, but rather to indulge in the whimsy of it all. The fact that current scientific understanding cannot reach a consensus as to why this creature has such a comically large bill is almost as awesome as the bill itself. You would think that the creature with such a conspicuous bill would have an equally conspicuous reason for having that bill, but in the case of the toco, we can just indulge in the whimsy and simply enjoy the fact that they do. But this large bill also serves a regulatory purpose. The toco can regulate the flow of blood to its bill, which will allow the bird to use it as a way to distribute heat away from its body. This is a very peculiar mechanism to the telco, at least on the birds that we have covered so far on the show. This is an amazing ability that allows them to control those processes that we often call autonomic, or the ones that happen automatically. But the telco takes their own blood regulation and heat regulation into its own hands. Their bill is also used as a feeding tool, of course. They will use them to reach fruit on branches that are simply too small to support their weight, and the bill also sports these serrated edges that are very useful for things like peeling fruit to get to the sweetness inside. That will come in handy when they are trying to eat their regular diet of figs, oranges, and guavas. But maybe that serrated edge can play somewhat of a role in their eating of insects and eggs and nestlings of other young birds. The telco is oftentimes seen in pairs or in small groups. They are diurnal, which means they will do the majority of their eating and flying around during the daytime. And during a typical day in this beautiful tropical forest in South America, they will fly with an alternating of rapid flaps and gliding. Now, once they are on the tree canopy that they wish to be on, they will typically move around by hopping. This is indicative of many other bird species, though there are birds that don't hop but rather walk. Though this bipedal movement seems to mostly be relegated to birds that are large or flightless. As we heard in the beginning of the show, they have an ability to be quite vocal. And they do this in order, of course, to communicate. Just like as human beings, we communicate with one another, the telco does the same thing. Maybe not with the complex sentences that we use, but they certainly have their ways. They will use a variety of calls, and employing their deep, coarse croaking, they will make a pattern of repetition every few seconds, maybe even sprinkling in some rattling calls or some bill clacking to spice it up. Their calls are often compared to the croaking of frogs. Another article describes it as mainly grunting and snoring sounds, and so this racket that they grace the tropical forest with seems to me to be pretty unique, at least to the birds that I hear on a regular basis. The reason the telco can often be seen in pairs is because, like many other birds, they are monogamous. This means that they have a single partner for the entirety of their life. Their breeding season is in springtime, but will differ slightly depending on the region. When they create their nests, they will place them very high up in a tree, consisting of some kind of cavity in that tree. These cavities are often excavated or made larger by the parent birds themselves. And so these little archaeologists create a dig, though not to find the relics of the past, but to bring into the world something precious, which is a newly born telco. They will also sometimes nest in earth banks and terrestrial termite nests, but wherever they choose to nest, they will lay 2 to 4 eggs, that being the female, a few days after mating. The eggs are then incubated by both the parents and hatch after 17 to 18 days. That word, incubated, maybe it is the first time you are hearing such a word. Well, the word comes from a Latin word that means to lie in or upon. And so in the strictest sense, when we speak about these eggs being incubated by the parent telcos, we mean that the mom and dad telco are literally lying upon their eggs. This is what keeps them warm and keeps them at that optimal temperature for growth and proper development. And so we need not be intimidated by fancy terms When you think incubate in terms of the wild, that is what it refers to. They are born completely helpless and are dependent on the mom and dad, Toko, and will be in this completely dependent state for 43 to 52 days after hatching. They will reach reproductive maturity from between 3 to 4 years of age. The parent tokos are very protective of their chicks, and for good reason. They are often preyed upon by other large birds of prey, large cats, and also weasels, snakes, and rats. The weasels, snakes, and rats are the ones who try to steal the eggs from the nest whenever they can. One last little fact before the fact of their name is that with these bills, they will spar with one another once in a while. One last fact before we get to the name of the show is maybe what toucans do for fun. They seem to like to spar with their bills, chase one another and play tag, and call to one another. And this is what provides them some downtime while they are allowing the fruit that they have eaten to digest. It can take up to 75 minutes for the toko to fully digest their food, so having these little playtimes are a great way to pass the time while those oranges, figs, or guavas are digesting. And now let us move on to the final fact of the episode, which is the name. Where does the name come from, or what does it mean? Well, today we are covering the name toucan. I could not find anything to do with toko or toko toucan, and so we are going to focus on that broad stroke distinction that comprises more than 40 species, toucan. It is used to describe a brightly colored bird of South America from as early as the 1560s. It goes through French and then Spanish, Tupi, which is a dialect in Brazil, and these words in Tupi are tuca and tucana. We can see how close those are to our modern English word and pronunciation, and it is said that the formation of this word was likely an imitation of its call. Sometimes animals get their names from these intimations of people around them, and that is a wonderful thing. There is a constellation called Toucana that was one of the 11 constellations added to Ptolemy's list in the 1610s by a Flemish cartographer. So our modern usage seems to be that of about 500 years old, starting in the 1560s. But the beginning of this word seems to have been given to us by a population in Brazil that was likely imitating the call of the toucan. And now let us move on to the review portion of the show. This review is coming from Lydia One, who writes all the way from the United States of America. And Lydia writes, I appreciate the unique approach this podcast uses to not only relax us, but educate us. I love learning about animals and nature, and always learn interesting and important information every time I tune in. Please continue the great work. Your enthusiasm and professionalism is outstanding. I would love to listen to you spotlight the diamondback terrapin. And it seems like this was actually written by Nick, not Lydia, who wrote in from Minnesota. Thank you, Nick, for the very kind words and for a great suggestion of a diamondback terrapin. There are so many kind words that Nick wrote that I can only just say thank you for being a listener and for taking the time to leave this review. In terms of the unique approach, there is something funny to be said about the unique approach that this podcast takes to education and relaxation. Because I knew of no other podcast with this kind of format, it felt as if I was treading some new ground and I did not know exactly how to do it. It seems to me that it took a lot of trial and error. It took a lot of one-star reviews and other sorts of very critical feedback, and, of course, the loyal listenership of all of you to get the podcast to where it is now. And I can only look forward now to the future of more podcast episodes with you guys and with making the show better. If you want to leave a review like Nick did, you can even feel free to leave your animal suggestion there, as many of you are doing. It is one of the best ways for you to give back to the show, possibly get your very own episode, and to help the show get better. I have so enjoyed learning about the toucan. One thing that strikes me is that regardless of a creature being very bombastic in terms of its colors or extravagantly colored, creatures like the toucan or ones that maybe we would consider more mundane or ordinary like the worm, both have so many secrets hidden underneath, so many things that make them utterly peculiar and beautiful animals, that it makes learning about what we once considered common to be extravagant and exciting. The toco did not disappoint, and I hope that you enjoyed learning about them as much as I did. If you would like to request an animal and get your very own episode, you can send a direct message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram by going to the relaxwithanimalfacts.com website and clicking on the Animal Request tab, or by emailing relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. All of the resources used today are in the description, and they come from nationalgeographic.com, animalia.bio, theanimalfacts.com, and etymonline.com. If you would like more episodes, including exclusive episodes from our animal miniseries that are only available on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, or just click on the link to do with Patreon in the description. Thank you all for joining me on our trek into this beautiful and lush tropical forest. I hope that you will join me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.